ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, ¡golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, April 9th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, and yes, you can hear a cold in my voice, and Dwayne as well is on the line. How you doing, Dwayne, today?
I'm doing well, a little later than normal because I had some work stuff pile onto me today. Every time we try and book it, there'd be a new meeting. But anyone who's done that knows when that Outlook calendar fills up that you just got to deal with. So I'm here now, though. So
exactly. Let's do this thing. We're here now. And by the way, if you haven't listened to yesterday's show with Kira McCormack and a horrific Canadian soccer story, I truly feel it's a must-listen show. If you've been listening to our work for a long time, this one is not necessarily about anything that happened through the weekend. It's about what happened in the last 12 years. And I think it's a very, very worthy interview. So if you haven't listened to yesterday's show, I do suggest that you do so.
No, fair enough. And we'll let Kira tell her own story rather than us try and recall it here. But you know, if you've been following the news, you know some of what's happening there. Her experience wasn't sexual in nature, but certainly that she experienced and saw a lot of the bullying stuff that also went on with this case. And look, it's just getting messier and messier, and I think it's important that we face these issues head on. But on that note, I think I'll encourage you to go listen, and I'll let Kira tell her own story from there.
Yeah, exactly. But during this weekend, we had a lot of Major League Soccer games. FA Cup caught our attention, too, and I think that's where we'll start today, Dwayne. The FA Cup this weekend, Saturday, Manchester City got the job done against, who was it?
Brighton?
Brighton, yeah. I had a big B in my mind, so that's with Brighton. But on Sunday, Watford, Wolves, the classic, Magic of the Cup. This game was insane. Wolves took the 2-0 lead, and eventually De La Feo scored two goals and won in extra time, and Watford won versus Wolves in a very entertaining, wild FA Cup game. The magic of the Cup, Dwayne.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It was maybe my favorite game I've watched this year. You know, in this sort of season, it's right up there at any rate. I was just hooting and hollering watching it. It was completely out of left field, too. Even before the comeback, it was still an entertaining game. Both teams were really just going for it. And I think that's the beauty of the Cup at this stage. I mean, you go ahead of the day before, and maybe the less said about that, the better. As you said, City got the job done, but that was exactly what it is. They have other things in their mind literally right now. So it's working like there, but that Watford Wolves game was remarkable. It was everything we love about this sport: the comeback, the late penalty, and the way that they buried that penalty. I love how he just put his head down and just pounded the ball into the back of the net. No Panenka's there. It was straight power.
He's like, I'm not taking any chance. I need to score that one, and to get the equalizer, and then of course, in extra time, De La Feo gets the game winner. And we were really close of seeing penalties at Wembley for the semifinal of the FA Cup. But I do like the semifinal aspect now, that it's not a home and away series. Now that it's a one game, that you need a winner, you need a decisiveness in either full time or extra time or penalties. You do have that no tomorrow football feeling, which we do love about cup games, right? That's why we love cup games. That's why playoffs in Major League Soccer are fascinating too, because the no tomorrow aspect we'll see this year in a few 8 months time, 9 months time, how it is when it's a single knockout. But for me, that's the magic of the FA Cup or any cup competition where you do have a game with no tomorrow. You have that, like, that edginess. You have that feeling that it all will change with just one goal. You never know what can happen. And for me, that's the epitome of what the FA Cup is, this Wolves and Watford game. And I have to say, both teams in the league as well were doing not bad at all, both in the top 10. And we kind of predicted that last year. And it's fun to see those two teams battle each other for a spot in the final of FA Cup. And I think it's full measure for both those clubs to making it this far at the same time as performing well in the league. And I think that's it's an accomplishment in itself for both of those clubs to make it to the semifinal and still being in the top 10 in the Premier League.
No, fair enough. Yeah, a couple thoughts there. You mentioned, you know, the sudden deafness of it, and there has been a resistance in England from moving away from the replays just because it was such tradition for so long to have those replays. But the fixture congestion was just getting so bad that you really had to do something. And of course, we now see it at the League Cup level where they don't play replays anymore. They simply go to penalties straight away. There's not even extra time in League Cup. And then, of course, in the FA Cup, you do have all of your games from the quarterfinals on doing that now. So that's, I think, something that was necessary. And you're right, it does add an edge to it. You know, they always say, as much as people are kind of making the joke that, you know, congratulations to Watford for winning the runners-up trophy, and, you know, maybe that's something that I might, on my partisanship, agree with, but it is a sudden-death situation, right? And they can take – hell, I should not remind anyone that the last time City was in an FA Cup final, they lost to Wigan.
Yeah.
On a header.
While Wigan just got relegated, like the week after they got relegated.
Already down, yeah.
they just got relegated, and the final of the FA Cup is always like a week after the end of the Premier League. And I was like, yeah, Wigan, you better win because you're not going to win anything next year in the championship. And they did. And Reading did the same thing a few years ago back then too. But which brings me to my point, even though Man City is the clear-cut favorite for the final at the end of May, Dwayne, if it's 0-0 at the 87th minute, you never know what can happen. Even if it's Man City versus Watford, like Troy Deeney just muscles himself on the ball. He's in the box, 2 minutes left, he scores. Like, you never know what can happen. And that is the magic of no tomorrow soccer, I guess.
Well, no, absolutely. They could absolutely win that game. I mean, City is the favorite for sure. But City, that said, is, you know, got other things in their mind. They're currently grunting their way through a 0-0 in the 52nd minute against Spurs. If they, you know, get that job done, and I think they'll be happy with a 0-0 today if this holds, then they're going to be busy at the end of this year. And this is why it would be such a remarkable accomplishment if they were to win the quad, or which I think is, you know, dreamland stuff, to be completely blunt with you, because I still don't see them winning the Champions League. But even if they were to win a domestic treble, it would be the first time that had happened. It would be a remarkable contract. It's so hard. It's just so hard. And we're talking about the very reasons why it is now. Watford could stand up on his day and put them on their ear.
And yeah,
that would be the highlight of their, you know, they've won this since 1980 or something. So it'd be people have never, they're, how old are you if you're born in Canada? You're almost 40.
Yeah, you're
right?
Almost 40. Yeah.
Middle-aged people have never seen that club win, and it would be a remarkable thing for them.
It would be. It would be very fascinating. And two, you mentioned the Man City's plan, and they, out of that quadruple, three of them are still up for grabs. The Champions League, they won the League Cup already, so that's good. But you do have the Champions League, the league itself, Premier League, and FA Cup at the end of the month of May, but all three of them could slip through the grasp of Man City as well. Liverpool putting pressure on Man City with a win in the weekend in the Premier League, and we'll get to MLS in a second, but I think it's a good segue just to finish with Liverpool and Man City and the title run right now. If City doesn't score in the next 30 minutes in the game they're playing right now, if you're listening to it in podcast, you know the result of the game, which we don't know.
Yeah.
But Liverpool putting a lot of pressure on City during the weekend. And how confident are you about the three competitions left to be decided for City?
I think they'll win two of them, at least. I think two overall is what I'm saying. I would be very disappointed as a City supporter and confused as an analyst of the game if they didn't at least come away with two. I do think they will win the FA Cup. I mean, it is a one-off game. They are better than Watford. I tend to think they're going to win the league, too, because I just don't think Liverpool's going to be perfect. If you watch them play down the stretch, I just can't see them winning out. And if they don't win out, I don't think they have a chance. I think the winner of the league will win what is there, 7 games left or something right now. They're going to need to win on, or maybe you could afford a draw in there. Now, City's got some tough ones. They've still got Chelsea in the league, and they've still got United, which is always going to be tricky, obviously. And as I said, you know, the Champions League going on right now, that is a distractor. That one is the tough one because it is hard to see a team that has never captured that competition. It's hard to make the justification, the argument that this is going to be the year. Now, that said, new teams win it sometimes. And City certainly does have, you know, not just me saying this. There are a lot of neutrals out there that will put them as Champions League favorites. The time of, you know, City bottling it in the Champions League, that narrative is dead. Pep Guardiola is, you know, a manager who has won everything there is to win in this game. And I don't think anyone thinks that there is going to be, that there's some kind of mystical reason why the Sky Blue Shirts can't win it in the end. So we'll see what the draw is. That said, they still have to get through today. Well, not today. They still have a home game. But, you know, what are we in now? The 54th minute, 55th minute? We'll stop doing live updates on this because, you know, as you say, most people are going to listen to this after.
Yeah, no, exactly. And we'll see if that actually becomes true. Now, let's talk bread and butter here. Let's talk about Major League Soccer. Last weekend was a pretty busy one in Major League Soccer, and it all started last Friday on April 5th when Vancouver receives Zlatan and the Galaxy. It finished 2-0 for the LA Galaxy. Zlatan with an assist and a goal later on in this game. He should have scored twice. He missed a sitter, but at halftime, a comment of Felipe got people's attention saying, oh yes, it's great, people came, but it's kind of sad because they should come for us, not for Zlatan. Do you agree with Felipe?
Yeah, I do. I mean, perhaps he might have been a little gentler in how he said it, I guess, but I think we, you know, sometimes you are a little too hypersensitive about such things here. And I do think most hardcore fans of the Whitecaps would agree and are probably frustrated with the, you know, the casuals is how they would refer to them, that they were there to cheer for Zlatan. Now, look, this isn't a Vancouver problem. It's a North American thing. I have been to games at BMO Field where lots of jerseys for Zlatan have been in there, lots of Gerard jerseys, even though he wasn't there.
Yeah, that I was going to mention it. I was in that Galaxy game 2 years ago where Gerard didn't show up and made people cry in the stands, all the Liverpool fans in Toronto. Like, oh, we want to see Stevie, we want to see our captain. But no, he just stayed in L.A.
Yeah, no, I can always remember telling this woman that was walking down the street wearing a Liverpool Gerard jersey that she might as well turn back around because he wasn't there. Didn't even get on the plane. But anyway, that's a long story now and long ways ago. Yeah, it's, you know, what are you going to say about this? There is an element still in North American soccer where these big stars are still needed, are still part of the marketing push of any league. And I mean, Canadian Premier League fans were excited when the Diego Forlán rumors came around. And Diego Forlán is a 39-year-old man that probably would have to take crutches at this point.
That's true. Well, I'm excited.
But the name matters.
The name matters. I'm excited because Blake Smith just signed for Pacific FC. Blake Smith, former Montreal Impact draft pick, and played for FC Cincinnati and Indy 11 and a few other teams. Anyways, this is not a Canadian Premier League show. But no, I mean, it's going to be the same too. It's never going to change. But the Galaxy did play and did win that game. And Mark Dos Santos still looking for his first victory in Major League Soccer. What to say about this game? Kripo did not have his best game, but he did have a lot of great saves in the same game. It could have been a lot worse. The back line being exposed a bit. I think it's a finding your identity. I've been impressed by Wong and Bohm, but I can't wait for the day where he puts it all together. Like his runs with his dribbling skills, with his football acumen. I think it's all those things combined. When you'll be able to put him together, he's going to have a great season. He's going to score a bunch of goals. But there's just like something missing still in his game. I think it's adapting to his teammates. But once Bohm puts it all together, he's going to be an amazing, one of the best midfielders in this league when it all comes together.
well, I think when it all comes together, he might not be in the league any longer. And that's the consensus around the league, is this is a player that is here for a short time before he has moved on. And that's probably a good piece of business for the Whitecaps, and it's part of the Almiron model, we'll call it, the Atlanta model, if you prefer, where you do bring in a young guy that's looking for that final little bit of polishing before you sell him on to Europe and make a little profit off of him. So this is a player that is maybe the one bright spot for the Whitecaps this year. You know, what else do you say about this game? You know, first off, I want to back up real quickly. I think when I said it's a North American issue with the cheering for other supporters, have you ever watched like an early third round FA Cup draw when the big clubs go to small stadiums? There's a lot of people there, even in places rich in history as England, that are excited to see the Stars. I don't think we should dismiss, I don't think we should be dismissive of that type of fan out there, because they are fans just like any else, and they are consumers, and they want to see what they want to see. That's not how I roll, but it's fine. Anyway, what else to say about the Whitecaps game? If you're going to do a Panenka, don't do that.
Yeah, I was going to get there. He wants to make an impression. He's like, okay, I saw a guy in Toronto make an impression. And but if you miss your Panenka, it's going to make a terrible impression. It's going to be on you. And we saw it happen during this game. And I think that it shows what Vancouver is missing. Of course, Vancouver is missing scoring right now. They're missing goal scored. And they're missing contribution from two of their best offensive players. Freddy Montero, not even starting this game, was put on later on. Jordi Reyna was not even starting this game. And I think it's the Mark Dos Santos trying to establish a relationship between how you practice, how you act, and your playing time. And I think it's unfortunate that even just 7 weeks in, we're already seeing maybe problems with Reyna and Montero, and not seeing the output of performance that we should expect from two players of that caliber. And as much as goodwill as there may be in this locker room and this team, they can only go so far as how far Reyna and Montero will carry this team because of lack of other options. And I think that's going to be a problem for the Whitecaps in the future if they over-rely on those two, because those two are great addition players, but you don't build a team around them because it's more than just skills and talent. It's about work ethic. And I think one of those three is always missing for either one of those two. So if you rely on Reyna or Montero for your success this season, it's going to be a long season in Vancouver.
I think it's going to be a long season in Vancouver regardless. And we were saying that off the top of the season. I picked them second from bottom. I don't remember where you picked them, Kevin, but I don't think it was much further away from that. This is, in essence, an expansion team. They stripped it down to the bone last year. They threw the keys on the table for Mark Dos Santos. They have to give him the time and have the patience to let him build a project in his image. And I do believe that if they allow him that time, that this will eventually become successful. But that might not be for a while. We do have Simon Pledge booked for later this week, so we will have a more in-depth conversation about the Whitecaps on Soccer Today later this week. But from our outside perspective, I don't want to speak for you, but from my outside perspective, I think it's going to be more of the same for a while in Vancouver land.
What I texted to my friend Mark Daly, host of From the Backline, Vancouver Whitecap podcast, I texted him like, I miss Davies. I miss Fonzie. And I really miss Fonzie. But, I really like those late Whitecaps games on a Friday night. Get home from work, open a tally, and late for me in the East Coast, I can watch Vancouver play and hear the dulcet tones of Peter Schad, which is always fun to hear. One of the best in the world at what he does, in my opinion. But I love those Vancouver games. Unfortunately, the result wasn't the best. Let's continue with the results in Major League Soccer. From weekend number 7, NYCFC 0, Montreal Impact 0, even with a late red card, the Impact gets a point, but I believe dropped 2 at NYCFC. They should have won this game at Yankee Stadium, even though there was no Piatti. The Impact still performed well. They missed a couple of chances. Heaven Bush got a great game for Montreal in net. NYCFC is not that good, though, Dwayne, and we've seen this time and time again. And Montreal should have done better. They should have got the win in New York, but at least they didn't get, they didn't lose. At least they get out of Manhattan with a point.
Yeah. Look, I think the NYCFC might be the worst team in the East. Really, I do, or among the worst teams in the East, anyway. And you know, maybe they're not quite at the very bottom, but they certainly have not looked very good. You know what? I wouldn't worry about it too much for Impact fans. It is a good of a push back after allowing 7 goals the week before. You had to get that clean sheet. I think that was important.
That's true.
So they had that. And without Piatti to get another point in the road, that's 7. They're on pace for what we said would be a successful road trip to start the season. And you can almost see them now. You're what, 3 weeks away yet?
No, it was Saturday. Saturday is your Montreal.
Oh, it's Saturday.
April 13th at the Big O. And we just got about a foot of snow today, so that's gonna be fun. But yeah, next Saturday at the afternoon, Montreal will host who are they playing? Columbus. Yeah, Columbus. They're gonna host some Columbus in Montreal.
How did that weather hit you out there? It's so weird. It's like 10 degrees here today. We're like 500 kilometers apart. How's that even possible? Anyway,
I don't know. It's like in Nova Scotia right now, they're like 2 feet of snow, so I'm just glad it's not 2 feet. But yeah, Toronto FC 2, Chicago 2, Josie Altidore, influential once again. And Toronto and Chicago drew 2-2. Maybe my missed opportunity here for Toronto to get the win. The first goal should have never been allowed, and I think you know why, and your favorite player of Toronto might be to blame on that one. But Toronto 2, Chicago 2.
Well, yeah. When TFC opens up, they are vulnerable to being hit on the attack, and they were. And it wasn't a great defensive play, for sure. Frustrating, because I thought that up until that point, Toronto was maybe not humming like they were the week before, because Wallo looked a little tired, although he had some beautiful touches on the ball. And when you see him live, you can see this ability to work with his feet is just, it's incredible to watch. It's subtle. It's not quite a Dravinko-like thing, but it's a subtle thing. Anyway, that said, they were kind of getting it done. And then when they allowed that goal, changed everything in that game. But fight to come back, get the draw. Not ideal to drop points at home, obviously, but they have 10 points, so you can't really complain too much about that. And as I said, I think maybe, you know, after that great debut by Pozuelo, it was bound to maybe have a bit of a letdown. It's like, you know, when you have that adrenaline rush, when you're running on fumes, and then you just sort of, you know, calm down, and you can't quite get back up. He probably needs to be managed a little bit more. They have a full week off, so we'll see. As I say, 10 points in the game, and it was a beautiful day in Toronto, good crowd there. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I will forget I ever watched that game in 2 weeks. But nonetheless, it was a game of soccer.
Yeah. Speaking of games that we won't forget, LAFC 4 at Audi Field in D.C. D.C. United losing by 4 goals at home, and a red card to Wayne Rooney. So Mr. Wayne Rooney will not play tonight versus the Impact. A good chance for the Impact to maybe get a result at Audi Field. But LAFC, 3 goals for Diego Rossi, player of the week. Carlos Vela, another goal, player of the month. Yeah, LAFC might be the best team in the league right now, and they just put on another great performance versus DC United.
Well, they are the best team in the league right now. There's just not even a debate about it. They're playing very, very well. Are they a slam dunk favorite to win MLS Cup? I think, you know, that's silly to talk in those terms this early, but certainly with Rossi and Vela, you've got 2 real stars there, which remind me a hell of a lot of Martinez and Alvaro. And we know how that ended.
Yeah, we do know how that ended. It ended with a trophy being raised in Atlanta last December. The Red Bulls lost another one, and another one at home, this time versus Minnesota. When do the red part of New York actually press the red button, that big panic button? Because it's getting close. Another loss at home, and it's not the first one this year. And now they're looking terrible, and it's not even like you're seeing progress. They're just getting worse and worse. They lost to Chicago, to Orlando, and then they lose to Minnesota. It's like you lost to the 3 worst teams of the last decade in Major League Soccer. almost back to back to back. What's going on with the Red Bulls?
They might just be done, you know.
Yeah, you think?
I mean, Bradley Wright Phillips was going to run out of steam eventually. You know, he's not poaching the goals like he did in the past. You take a guy like Adams out of that midfield, and, you know, it's one thing in theory to just say you can just constantly plug in new guys into your system and be immediately as successful as you were in the past, but it's not realistic, and sometimes they aren't going to hit. And maybe it's just not hitting right now, and maybe they're due for a setback season. I think that program, and I use the term program purposely, is very effective, and I think that they will figure it out, but it might not be the 2020 at this point, and maybe that's okay, because sometimes you need a little setback to reevaluate to move forward even stronger. I think TFC in some ways might have discovered that last year, and I think are looking better for it this year. They just might be done. It might be just that simple.
Just that simple. Orlando got a big win at home versus Colorado. Orlando is not who we thought they were. They are better, and they're playing a lot better than anticipated. And Orlando 4, Colorado 3. Ever since Orlando lost at home to Montreal, it seems like they got a little something of a fire lit under you know where. And now Orlando wins this one. Fascinating end of the game. The beginning was dreadful, but the end was fascinating, filled with goals. So Orlando beats Colorado 4-3. Philly 2, FC Dallas 1. And another important win for Philly. That's 2 weeks in a row now they get the good results. And I think they're on their way to the expectations that we did put on Philly this year. And I think they're going to be able to live up to those expectations in the next few weeks. Columbus 1, New England 0. A good win for Columbus at home. But the important win this weekend, a late Saturday night, San Jose 3, Portland 0. Portland, worst team in Major League Soccer. Portland, wooden spoon after week 7.
Yeah, as we said, you know, they have this big road trip to start. But if you look at the other big road trips that have started seasons, D.C., Toronto,
Montreal,
in the past, they have done better. They have stayed in contention. You cannot drop this far off and reasonably expect to get back up into a position where you could reasonably compete for an MLS Cup. At the very least, you know, you can maybe see them dragging themselves back into a playoff position because 7 teams is a lot of teams, but it's hard to see them when they're this far down, getting themselves into the top 3. And that's what matters, because those are your home playoff days. Top 4, I guess. 4-5 plays each other, right? Yeah. So is it top 4? It's 2-7-3 anyway.
Yeah. 2-7-3-6-4-5.
Yeah. So 4 gets a home playoff day as well, but only one realistically, unless there's an upset. So it's that's the problem. And when you look at this playoff format, I think you really have to watch these early games a little more closely than you have in past years, because you can't get buried. If you're buried, you can't pull Seattle. I think that the likelihood of another Seattle happening, or Portland for that matter, when they won MLS Cup, is less likely than in the past. And maybe you start to look at Portland a little bit differently too, because they have had some successes, obviously. They've made 2 MLS Cup finals. They have 1 MLS Cup. But they've never really, with the exception of one season, they've never really excelled in the regular season. And that, to me, is telling on some level that there's something about that club that is more set up to take advantage of their home advantage and get on runs in the playoffs. And I don't know if you can afford to operate in that way anymore in MLS with this new playoff form.
And we'll know this year. The last 2 games this weekend were Seattle versus Real Salt Lake. Seattle got the 1-0 victory, and Cincinnati SKC 1-1. Should we say that it's Champions League fatigue for Kansas City?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it had to be deflating to lose 5-0 to Monterrey. Although such a great club in Monterrey, and they have to be the favorite to win Champions League and one of the best Mexican teams we've seen in a while, although Tigres is certainly very good too. To go down there, and it's just so much travel, and it's so hard on the body to do it. The real question mark for SKC will come in the next few weeks. Now that they're done from that competition, can they do what New York did last year and just build off of it, or will they do what Toronto did last year and die from it? So that's what they're going to have to figure out.
That's true. That's true. And we'll know that really soon. We'll know that in the next couple of weeks. For sure. And tonight, there's actually a game tonight. Yeah, so if you haven't done your fantasy, just like I am, just think about that the next hour or so. You're going to have to do it. Because there's a game tonight, there's a game tomorrow. So tonight, we do have Montreal versus DC United live from Audi Field with no Wayne Rooney. And the question is, no Rooney, big party? Maybe for the Impact. Maybe we see Tony Jackson, Anthony Jackson and Mel getting maybe a start. Or maybe not, but I... bold prediction, Anthony Jackson-Mill gets a goal tonight. And that's my prediction, Dwayne. It's a bold one. DC United, Montreal at 8 p.m. tonight. In Colorado, Seattle tomorrow. So two games midweek. And we even have a game Friday, another late one, Chicago and Vancouver. I'm getting used to watching Vancouver on Friday nights. But DC United, Montreal tonight, who do you got?
That's a tough one with Rooney out. He does really generate a lot of that. It is tough to play on a short week on the road, though. So, and obviously DC is going to want to bounce back from the shellacking that they got. Shellacking is a fun way to word to say on the weekend. So, I'm going to go with the obvious choice and say a draw.
A draw, and the other game tomorrow as well is. Colorado, Seattle. I think Colorado scored three goals and lost, but I think Colorado might be able to put a good performance. Seattle only had a 1-0 win against RSL, but it's a midweek game, and I think Colorado at home, depending on the temperature, might have the advantage there. Seattle, if they might be playing in a bit more cold weather than they would like, depending on the cold front tomorrow in Colorado. But it'll be a fascinating game. That one is Wednesday evening. But I won't be able to watch that tomorrow, Gwen, because you know what? It's a funny story. I'm going to see Engelbert Humperdinck. Yeah, I met the guy. I met the guy yesterday, and he gave me tickets. So that's always fun. So I'm going to see my friend Bert tomorrow night instead of watching Seattle.
There you go. You'll have to tell us, regale us with stories of the concert when we get back. That's... not a show that I ever would have necessarily thought of, but...
Me neither. But my grandma's really jealous, so I have to say that.
Fair enough. I don't even know. What is he saying? I don't even know.
Oh, there's a few big classes, like a classic, like, can't take my eyes off of you. He sang the original. And the other one, what was it? Oh, yeah. It's like... It doesn't matter. Just Google it. You'll find it. And as always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie. We'll be back Wednesday at the regular time for a regular show. Hopefully, you enjoyed yesterday's show with Kieran McCormack. Again, sorry for the lateness of this show today, but hopefully you enjoyed it. You can always follow myself at Kev Laramie and the show at Soccer Today SPN. And hopefully, I'm back tomorrow. A bit more healthy. But as always, until then, for Dwayne, I'm Kevin. Have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.